Last week we discussed the Indian of standing while traveling on airplane and cars and whatnot, and also keeping your feet together. That was last week's discussion. This week's discussion, though slightly connected, you don't have to have been here last week to understand this week's shir. Now, this shir did prompt some discussion. I mentioned last week this idea of davening in minyan, and it's an Indian of hashtadlus to daven in minyan. So you never know what they're going to feature in YU Torah. So I decided to feature last year's shir on YU Torah. So I got a text from someone saying, and he told me while he was driving, he almost lost control. Did you just tell me that davening in minyan is not such a big deal? So in light of that, next week's topic is going to be on the Indian of davening b'tzibur. You have to hopefully they'll feature that one too and balance everything out with that. That's next week's topic. Next week's topic will be the last one of the Zman, because the following week we're having possibly a breakfast or discussion about the Mechina. That's in 2 weeks. And then I guess we'll pick up after the summer. So, what? I'm not sure. So, now, connected to this discussion on Shabbos, a lady asked me the following question. She had said she has a bad back. And when she davens in shul, she can't stand for the entire Shemoneh Esrei. So she does one of two things, wanted to know which is better. She could either sit during Shemoneh Esrei and she'll be very comfortable, or she could stand and taking off her shoes also somehow helps her back, and she's able to stand for the entire Shemoneh Esrei. So she asked if it's better for her to stand without shoes or to sit with shoes. That was the question. So just to address that question now, we discussed last week the Indian of standing, that standing during Shemoneh Esrei is a big Indian. It's based on the Karbanos that the Kohen would stand during the Avodah, based on Psukim, or it's based on the Melachim, which would stand as well. In regards to wearing shoes, so which is, you know, better to do away with, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, this is just a side point, which is very relevant for an airplane. I don't know about you, but I love taking my shoes off in an airplane. You're comfortable there, you feel the rough carpet. So do you have to put your shoes back on when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei in an airplane? So it's not in the source here, because they just asked me on Shabbos, but the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Tzadi Aleph Sif Hey, that a person should not stand lo yamo during Shemoneh Esrei. He shouldn't stand bafnudaso, velo barosh megula, with his head uncovered. He's referring to wearing a hat. This is the source of wearing hats during davening. The Mishnah Berurah says one should not wear a kippah. That's not sufficient. You should also wear a hat. Whether that's relevant, Bezman is a whole other discussion. Velo baraglaim megulim, and a person shouldn't wear with daven with his feet exposed, not wearing shoes. If the place that you wouldn't walk in front of the king without shoes on, so you can't daven in front of the king without shoes on. So since you would never see the present barefoot, so you can't daven barefoot either. So Mishnah Berurah says, but if you live in a place where it's very hot, in the Arab countries maybe, where they would go with sandals and things like that, then there might be a heter of davening that way as well. Flip-flops, it's depending where you daven, it would be a discussion.
What about socks?
So the socks, they discuss wearing socks, so a person is allowed to wear socks. So they quote here in the back that the Aruch HaShulchan says one shouldn't wear socks only unless it's Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av. So that's a person, they also discuss wearing slippers, you shouldn't wear slippers. Ideally, the best way, now this is not all going to be ma'akev the tefillah, but in terms of the best way to present yourself, how to stand in front of the king, is wearing shoes, not slippers and not socks alone.
But
that they don't bring this down back here, but there's an Indian of Avelis. I've heard this before also, but it's not brought down in the postgame. Right. Exactly, right.
Same here.
So,
even Chazar and
right.
Standing with socks, about the same.
Okay. So the postman, at least what I saw, again, the very brief survey I looked through, I didn't see this addressed at all, the Indian of Avelis. But I remember also growing up hearing that as well. So in the end of the day, it sounds like from the Aruch HaShulchan that since there are heterim, we know Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, we don't wear shoes when we daven, you know, we wear socks. We wear shoes, but not really leather shoes, and you can daven wearing socks on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. So I thought in this situation, since there are certain kulas where wearing socks would be allowed for Shemoneh Esrei, I thought it would be better for her to stand to wear no shoes than for her to sit down wearing the shoes. That's what I thought based on these two different factors. Okay, let's now go ahead with today's shir.
Can you comment on the covenant? the Beis Medrash of even sitting and learning without shoes on?
That's an interesting topic. Not for now, though, but it is interesting. They do point out when discussing sitting down when you're davening, those heterim on the airplane, you shouldn't be, you know, completely reclined when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei. When you're sitting, you should be in the most kavodik way you possibly can be, sitting up straight, not kicking your feet up, even though you are allowed to sit. So learning, there's yesh for yesh in terms of that. That's a whole other topic, though. Okay. Now, one other thing I didn't mention last week also, let's say you're busy traveling, and you could figure out, you could calculate that you're going to get to your destination before you miss the Zman. So let's say you're traveling in the morning, you're 8:30, you're on a train at 8:30 getting to the office. You miss Minyan. So you go on the 8:30 train, and you don't want to miss Zman Tefillah, whatever Zman Tefillah is now. It's 10-something probably, right? 10 o'clock. Mamish 10 o'clock. Is it 10 o'clock here? 10 o'clock is Zman Tefillah. So you're going to get to the office at 9:45. So if you daven now on the train, or you should wait until later on and catch Zman Tefillah, you should certainly wait to Zman Tefillah. You should daven later at 9:45 as opposed to davening while traveling and sitting down. That seems to be very, very clear. So they have an interesting discussion here. Rav Chaim Kanievsky was asked the following question. When it comes to davening Mincha, you're traveling Mincha, the way home, very relevant for the winter when it's early. Let's say you're traveling and you're on the train. And when you get home, it's going to be past Shkia. So there's a heter to daven past Shkia if need be. B'diavad, we like to daven. L'chachila, you should daven Mincha before Shkia. If it's B'diavad, you're running a few minutes late, you have a few minutes to daven after Shkia. So let's say based on the calculation of the train, you can either daven now before Shkia sitting down on the train, or you can wait to get to the shul and daven standing up, but it's going to be a few minutes after Shkia. It's in the B'diavad zone. Which one's better? On the train, Bizman, or standing up in shul after the Zman? So if Chaim says it's better for a person to daven while he's traveling, sitting down, than it is to wait to after the Zman of Shkia to daven in the shul. That's what Rav Chaim passed. Okay, now let's go through the today's sources.
Rabbi Levin, yes. The shikul the Rav just mentioned is after Shkia, he's in the shul, is it with a minion, or is he also here b'yachad?
He doesn't address that point, but I would imagine it wouldn't make a difference, based on last week's parsha.
What?
Rav Am. Yeah, and then for Rav Am is certainly a big factor. Rav Am is certainly an important factor, and so is a minyan, but at the same time, Zman is very, very important as well. That's true also. But let's say you have that case, if you could catch a minyan in Brooklyn with a davening after Zman, or Rabbi Spiegel after Zman. So that's maybe we'll discuss that next week, if it's better to daven b'yachidus before Zman, or b'tzibur after Zman. Maybe I'll try to put that into next week's topic. Right, I'm saying, but according to what we paskin, the Ashkenazim, paskin as what is the Zman. Okay, let's look inside. Let's discuss now a very interesting discussion of how one accomplishes the steps back and steps forward during Shemoneh Esrei, along with bowing down during Shemoneh Esrei, and also about facing the right direction during Shemoneh Esrei while traveling. So Rama writes in number one here, this is in Hilchos Tefillah Simen Tzadi Hey. V'yesh omrim, there are those who say, kisha omid lispala, when a person stands to daven, yelech lefanav shlosh psios, he should take three steps forward, derech krova v'agasha, as a person's entering in, coming closer, ledaber shetarech lasos. Before you do something, you first need to approach it. So as we're about to enter into davening, you take three steps forward, approaching into tefillah. Three steps. So Teres Zekeinim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch quotes the understanding, what's the reason behind the three steps forward? So he writes, it says, Vayigash three times in Tanakh. Vayigash Avram, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Vayigash Elio, that's connected to the three steps, the three Hagashos to Shemoneh Esrei. Does a person have to take three steps back before? We're talking about right now before Shemoneh Esrei. So the Halacha is, says the Mishnah Berurah, number three, V'ein Tzarech Lachzor Lachorav Kidei Leilech. A person does not need to take three steps back in order to step forward. Aval minag ha'olam leilech la'achor of the practices for people to take three steps back. You really don't have to. The idea is three steps forward. So if I'm standing here, and the chazan is, let's say, davening Shema, he's davening Shema, he's saying Shema, he's standing back there, and it says Gal Yisrael, he just takes three steps forward, and that's all he needs to do. He doesn't have to first take three steps back, and then three steps forward. All you have to do is
just... Because probably what happened is all over history. You have shtenders. You have
it could be very practical in order to ensure that you have that. Yeah. The person's not like the person. Let's say doesn't he hasn't stepped back at all. He has plenty of space in front of him. You really don't have to do that. It's enough to take three steps forward. But you're right. It could be very very practical. Ein echanami. So the Orchas Rabbeinu from the Stipler quotes that he was not makbir on this. He says one does not need to take three steps back. As long as there's enough space in front of you to take three steps forward, just take three steps forward. You don't need to precede that with three steps back. So what about after Shmoneh Esrei? What's the idea of after Shmoneh Esrei taking three steps back? So the Gemara in Yuma Daf Nun Gimel Mebeis tells us, Tani Nami Hachi, HaMispalel Tzarech Sheyafsiya Shalosh Psiyos Lachorof. One who davens, when he completes davening at the end, he needs to take three steps backwards. V'acharkach Yitein Shalom, then he gives Shalom. If he doesn't do this, roi lo shelo hispalo. If a person doesn't take the three steps afterwards, says the Gemara, it's as if he didn't daven. Umishim Shmai, in the name of Shmai, it was said, Amru shenosen shalom liyamin. You first say shalom to the right, acharkach lesmo, then you bow to the left. Shenemar miyamino aish das la mofai. So when we say to the right to the left, we really don't mean our right. And our left, we mean the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means our left. Ose shalom bimramav, hu yaseh shalom aleinu, to the right, and then to the center to finish off. So Shulchan Aruch records this as well. Number six, Kareya, this is very important. Let's read this one carefully. What exactly is a procedure a person should do when finishing Shmoneh Esrei? It says, Kareya, first you bend down. When you finish Shmoneh Esrei, before taking steps back, you first bend down, Kareya. Then you, as bending down, Poseya Shalosh Psios Lachorom. You walk back three steps while you're bent, not standing up straight. You bend first, and then you take three steps backwards, b'kriya achas, all during one bow, v'achas shepasa shlosh psios, after taking three steps backwards, b'od the korea, while you are bent over, kodem shiyitzko, before you stand up straight, kishayomer osa shalom b'mromav hofech panav litzat smolo, you turn your body, you're still bent, you turn your body to the left like that, you don't do another bend, you keep bent and turn to the left, ukshayomer hu osa hu yasa shalom aleinu hofech panav litzat yimino, you turn to the right, Acharkach, afterwards, then you do a yishtach of lefan, then you do a bow for the final one, ke'evet anifta merabo. That's what you're supposed to do. And then the Ramah concludes saying, Acharkach, la'vnagu lomar acharkach, afterwards we say, the hiratzon, she'ibana beis ha-mikdash, v'chule, because the tefillah is b'makum ha'avoda, and we daven that the mivakshin al-mikdash, shenucha la'asos avoda mamash. Okay, so that's the procedure in taking three steps back after davening Shmoneh Esrei. What's the reason for this? Beis Yosef brings like six different reasons. Other Achorim bring other reasons as to why we take the three steps backwards. So I'll just present just a few of them that the Beis Yosef mentions. The Beis Yosef says, Tam l'shalosh psios, the reason we have the three steps back, shalach atvila, after davening, is because keneged shlosha milim, there are three words that were used, shirachku yisrael mehar sinai b'shas matan Torah. There are three words that were used, I don't remember what the psukim, I forgot to look them up, that were used when describing how Klai Yisrael were distanced from Matan Torah. There are three words. V'o nimsa ba'agada shemoshe beinu lav ha-shalom nichnas b'choshech anin v'rafel. When he entered into the cloud to learn with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he entered into the darkness, into the clouds, into a deeper cloud, l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that means when he left, k'sheyata, yata me'elu ha-shalosh, he left those three clouds. So that's the idea of taking three steps backwards outside of the arena of the HaKadosh Baruch. And one final understanding is Rabbeinu Manoach, on the end of number 7, is Dehani Shlosh Psios, these three steps are connected to the pasuk we saw last week, Yafinalu Midichsev Ragleim Regel Yeshara. That was the source that the Meraglim keep their feet together as one. So he says that's also a limit for Ragleim is two, Regel is a third one, so that's referring to three steps back. So again, there are many reasons why we take three steps back, but that's the halacha. Halacha l'maisa, how do you do this when you're traveling? That's the big question. How do you accomplish three steps back while traveling? So Shulchan Aruch writes in number 8, this is Hilchos Tefillah, Simen Tzadi Dalet. A person's haya yoshe b'sfina o ba'agala. A person's on a boat or on a wagon. Im yachal la'amod b'mokum ha'krichos. If he's able to stand when he's supposed to do the bending, omeid k'deshe korea m'umad. So let the guys on the airplane or train, we'll get to some examples. Well, you're sitting down in the train, you're sitting down on the airplane, when it comes to the bending down to modem, you should stand up for the modem and bend, and then sit back down afterwards. And then a person should be poseya shlosh psios. If you're able to, let's say you're on a bus or a train, and there's some space, So then you should stand also in order to take the 3 steps back. And Afa Peter Ma comments, even though Sheyoshev Bechola Trila, even though you're sitting down during the rest of Trila, Mikol Makom Im Ef Shelolam, if you're able to stand for those certain points, Yamod Kedei Lekayim Hakrios Vapsios Kedarchan, in order to at least fulfill the bendings and the steps back like you're supposed to. Now listen to this fascinating Rama. Im Ef Shalol, let's say you can't. There's no space on the. You're in a car. You can't take 3 steps in a car. You're riding a horse. You can't take 3 steps on a horse. You're sitting on top of the horse or a donkey. Kagon Chirochal Behema, Yachsir HaBehema Shalosha Psiels Lachareb. Put your animal in reverse. Have it take 3 steps for you. V'olalo Ki'ilu Posea Be'atzmo. It's as if you took the 3 steps back. So I don't know how horses work. I guess they can go backwards also. There's ways to do that. Okay. What? We'll get to a car in a second. We'll get to that. But with an animal right now, you have the animal move backwards 3 steps, and that fulfilled your shlosh psios. The Magen Avraham says there's another suggestion if you're riding a horse at this time. Number 9, he writes, O yachser asmo aide behem or agavi behemto. Or you could kind of like wiggle backwards on the animal. You can't really take 3 steps, but move back a little bit the saddle or move your body back on the animal a little bit further down the back of the animal. That would also be sufficient for those psios, which are very, very important. Because remember, the Gemara says anyone who davened and didn't take those 3 steps back, it was as if they never davened. So this is a very, very important thing to fulfill. So either you have the animal move back or you move back on the back of the animal as best as you can. Now, let's say you can't do this. It just, you're on a saddle, the saddle can't move, or you're not an expert horse rider or donkey rider, you're nervous to move, you don't want to be thrown off. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, if you can't accomplish moving the horse backwards or moving your body backwards, Yichram Yushav, you could bend down while sitting, and same thing with the Shlosh Psios, you could, Yafshar Lasos, you can't do anything about it, so don't make a big deal of it, you do what you can. Now, yeah. It's a good question. You're sitting in the airplane, you just move like...
Can you moonwalk?
Right.
Sometimes even when you're standing, there's not much room to take 3 steps.
Right. So we haven't defined how big the steps have to be. It could be the tiny baby steps. Ideally, it should be 1 foot in front of the next. That's the ideal. But let's say a person can't do that. Good question. I don't know. I didn't see anyone who talked about that. I guess it would be better than nothing. If a guy can't stand and take 3 steps, he can't hurt to just move your feet in place.
But if you're not taking steps, it doesn't matter. Because the idea is 3 psios, so if just moving your feet, you're not taking.
But I'm saying, let's say your feet are like starting in front, and then you move your feet, like that, so now my feet are behind me.
No, but you're supposed to
distance yourself.
Well, my bottom part of the body has moved, not the top of my body. So, I don't know. Could be pointless also. I said nothing could be lost by it.
No, but so, the Aruch HaShulchan says that if you can.
Right.
So
right.
You don't gain anything.
I hear.
What about the direction? If your aisles are close together, could you go the wrong way?
I've seen people do this. I didn't come across it now. It's discussed in the postgame. From what I recall, I think if you have no space, you can go off to the side if you need be. I'm pretty sure, but I don't have it in front of me here. Now, the Nishmas Avram, Rabbi Dr. Abram, he discusses a person in a wheelchair. I copied the wrong part of it. But in the footnote, he comments that a person who's in a wheelchair does the same thing. He should move his wheelchair back. He can't walk, so you reverse it backwards to accomplish the Shlosh Psios as best as one can. Now, Rav Moshe writes, number 12, very clear when it comes to an airplane. We saw a quote last week. Let's read it this inside now. HaMispalel B'Yusha B'Aviron. A person is sitting down, davening on an airplane. The Einot Tzarech Lachzor L'Ispal, he doesn't need to go back and repeat davening Shemoneh Esrei if he said it already on the airplane. V'af l'chachila, even l'chachilim, kosh lo ha'amida b'aviron. If it's hard for him to stand on the airplane, via tarud, he's going to be bothered by this. B'shvil zeh, yoseh tov li'yashev, he's going to be bothered by people knocking him over, or as we said last week, he's going to be concerned that other people will be upset about him standing up. So he's allowed to l'chachila sit and daven. But he does write, but when one stands, one should lamod kodem hakrios. One should stand before doing the bending down. So you're sitting down during Shemoneh Esrei, comes the modem, you stand up for a moment, you bend down, and you sit back down. The person next to you is going to think you're crazy, probably, but you do what you can.
But all the bows?
All the bows, yeah.
You stand up all the way?
You say, oh, probably the best you can, stand up all the way, do a full modem, do all the bowings, and then you could sit down. Okay. What about a car? You asked about a car. What do you do in a car? So a car, certainly you can't move, you can't walk around in a car. You can't stand up in a car. So if you look at number 13, the Ishei Yisrael. Ishei Yisrael is a very, very important sefer on Hilchos Tefillah. He quotes a lot of tshuvas from Rav Chaim Kanievsky on the topics. So he writes, let's read inside the footnote there, Os Mem Zayin. It's a little blurry here. Sham Sif Hei Uberama Ein Sham Dim Ief Shalol Lifsol Achorov Kegon Shirochav Agabe Behema Kedoma Yachser Behema Lachorov. If you can't come down from the animal, you move the animal in reverse. The Yesh La'ayin Lefizeh, there's room to look into. What should a person do if he's riding on a in a car? He does leave that as a tarchi and doesn't mention the suggestion here, what to do. So what would the suggestion be? So it sounds a little strange, but I would think the horse thing sounds strange as well. But the Piskei Tshuvos quotes, I saw this also in the Tefillah Kilchasa as well, to do the following, that one should put the car in reverse. As long as it's not dangerous, he's in a safe place. No, I wouldn't suggest doing this. Well, we already said you can't daven while driving a car. That's clear. But I guess what you have to do is, you know, you're parked on the side of the road somewhere or in your, I don't know, wherever you are, and then the car has to be on, though. You put your car on, and you're davening while the car is on, and then comes for the psios, you put the car in reverse, you back up, and you do osa shalom demiramav, and then the seat back, maybe the seat back also, that could be, right?
So, the only time you
could be.
The rabbi said to daven in a car is if you're the passenger. So would you ask the driver?
No, not in that case. If a person, let's say he's driving yourself, and then the shkia is coming, the sun's setting, you need to catch mincha,
right.
So you pull over to the side of the road, there's no place for you to come out, and daven is dangerous, so you're on the highway somewhere, you don't want to leave your car, so you're sitting inside the car now, in safety. So then a guy goes in reverse. Sammy's suggesting another idea you could do is, instead of moving the whole car back, maybe move the seat back, and this way you go reverse in the seat, and then you go move forward afterwards. So that could also be a very nice suggestion. Okay. Let's get a little short today. Let's discuss now the directions and the way a person should daven. So we know when a person's flying to Eretz Yisrael from New York, so you're facing the right direction. As long as you're facing the front of the plane, you're barak facing the right direction. Sometimes it could go a little north when it travels. It goes north and curves around. But for the most part, you're facing the right direction, east. You're not going to, I don't know how, I guess a compass will work up if you have a compass to get really east, but you have to go east-south. Facing that forward direction is good enough once you're going to Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
Returning back from Eretz Yisrael, though, to New York, where you're facing west, and obviously your back is to Eretz Yisrael, you have to daven now facing the other way, which is a little strange. I've never seen anyone do this, but that means if you're sitting down, you'd stand up and facing the person behind you while they're watching the movie, and you're staring them in the face, davening Shemoneh Esrei, that might be a little awkward. So is that what a person should be doing? We said sit down anyways. So now, if you have to sit down, you're sitting down facing the wrong direction. So now you have to sit on your knees. This way you're facing the back of the chair. So that would be strange. So what obligation do you have in terms of facing the proper direction while traveling? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Tefillah, this is number 15. B'kumal is pal, when a person gets up to daven, im haya omid b'chutz la'aretz, to be standing in chutz la'aretz, we know the halacha that he's yach, sir panav keneged Eretz Yisrael. The person is in America, he's in New York, he faces the east. The person is in, China, he's going to face the west. V'yichavein gam Yerushalayim, you should also try to have kavana. It's hard to really, you can't really face the direction of Yerushalayim, it's hard to really get that angle. But facing Eretz Yisrael is sufficient, but at least have kavana. For gam Yerushalayim ulam mikdash, ulabes kadshe kadash. Haya omid b'Eretz Yisrael, if the guy is somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, if he's in the north, he should focus on south. If he's in the south, he should look to the north. Always be mechavin to Yerushalayim. If the guy is haya omed by Yerushalayim, if he's in Yerushalayim itself, he should be yachshe panav of the mikdash. He should focus on where the kosel is. Bechavin gamkein lebeis kodesh kodashim. Okay. Sif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch writes, but mi she'enu yachal lechavin haruchos, one guy has no idea where he is. He doesn't have a compass with him. He doesn't know the direction of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim, yechavin libo le'aviv shebashmayim. Just focus on davening to Hashem, and your Shemoneh Esrei is still going to be good. So what about when you're traveling? So the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chav Chesmen Beis tells us, number 16, hayarochev alacham, a person's riding on a donkey. Yard of Yispalel, a person should get down, and he should daven. If he can't come off the donkey, then Yachas Panav, he should, while sitting on the chamor, he should turn his head to the proper direction. V'meinu yachalach says, part of if he's not able to, he's facing the wrong direction, to turn his whole face 180 is impossible, where he's nervous about facing the wrong direction. So then yachavin is libo kineged beis ha-kodesh ha-kodashim, which just think about to the kodesh kodashim. The guy is mahalach besvina, ba'asti, he's traveling by boat or some other not a car, but a wagon maybe. Yechavin is libo kineged beis kodesh ha-kodashim. On the svina, the shulchan of the halacha is in the Gemara that you don't have to face the right direction. In the Svina, you could just, whatever direction you're facing is sufficient, and just be mechavein to the Kodesh Kadash. So, how do you paskin? So, if you look at number 17, the Tosos there, he says, halacha karebi, shelo yari lamata. We already saw last week that when a person's driving, a person's on a camel, a donkey or horse, you don't have to come down. You could stay on top. Ve'afilu shelo b'makum sakana. Even when it's not dangerous, you don't have to come off the car. You could even drive, well, not the car, but you could at least have the camel move or the donkey move and daven while it's moving. And Eino Tzarech Lahach Sirpanov Kineged Yushalayim. He paskins that one does not need to turn your face, you could just daven in any direction you're going in. So that means if you're on the airplane and you're going from Eretz Yisrael west to New York, you would have no obligation to turn around and daven towards Eretz Yisrael. The Beis Yosef quotes another opinion that says one would have to. He quotes from the Sefer Rokeach that one who's rochev al chamor yoshev u'mispalal yachal yachzer panav. If he's able to, he should be machzer panav. But im einu yachal, he should then be mechavin libo keneged beis kachay kadash. So the Rokeach says if one is able to focus the right way, then he should try to. So in an airplane, it's very, very difficult. But let's say you're on the train, you're in the LAR. So then you get like a backwards seat, and you could figure things out. If you're facing, let's say, from New York, you're coming out west to Long Island, so you want a forward seat, so that's facing the right way.
The other way
around? You're going from New York, right, the east. You're going from New York to Long Island, you're going east, so you want a forward-facing chair, this way you could face that way. But if you're going from Long Island west to New York, so then you want a backwards, backwards facing this way, you're moving backwards, and you're facing east in order to daven. That's if a person is able to, according to the Beis Yosef. How do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch writes in, it should be number 19, but there's no number here, Hayarochei Bala Chamor. Person's riding on the Chamor, Ein Tzarech Leirid L'Spal, you don't have to come down and daven like we saw. Afilim Yeshlo Misha Toves Chamoro, even though a guy's willing to hold on to your Chamor for you, no need, just stay on your Chamor, stay in your car, don't come out of your car. El mispalal derech hilucho, you can even let the camel move, the donkey move as you're davening. V'cheinim haya besfina o agave karon, if you're in a wagon or on a boat, im yachal amod, if you're able to stand, omeid v'imlav, if not, it's fine, the yoshib im komo mispalal. So we see there's many kulos to sit down. Im haya holich biragav, if you're davening while walking, we didn't address this, it's not really so nogea, but there's some extreme circumstances where a person may be able to daven while he's actually walking. He should be mispalal derech hilucho, Afim eno panav keneged yushlaim. Even though you're davening while walking, you don't have to be concerned that you're facing the wrong direction. So it sounds pretty clear from the Shulchan Aruch that one does not need to face yushlaim. So Ber Lacha quotes is actually a machlokas in the poskim, whether one should try to anyways. And at the end of the day, the Ber Lacha seems to say that one doesn't need to go out of their way to do this. And therefore, what I would say is, if a person's on an airplane, if he's traveling from Eretz Yisrael back to New York, he's facing the wrong direction, a person does not need to turn his head around, does not need to turn his body around, sit down in the seat. If you're facing the wrong direction, just be mechavin to Yushalayim, to Kodesh, to Kadash, the Kodesh Kadash. Now, a few last pieces that are not in the sheets here. There's other things to keep in mind while traveling and davening, is the question of washing your hands. You know, it's brought down, Shulchan Aruch, a person's supposed to wash their hands before davening. How much a person has to wash their hand, that's a big discussion. But you certainly have to have your hands clean. So in Tefillah Kelchas, it brings down some other important halachas, that when a person davens, if there's water, so of course he has to wash his hands. If he has no water, so then he should clean his hands with that whatever could, clothing or something that's rough that could really clean his hands as best as possible. Now let's say his hands are really mamish dirty, and he needs water. So this really brought down in halacha. It's brought down in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch that a person should wait if he knows he's going to have water in the next 72 minutes of traveling. So then he should wait until he gets to that place, unless he's going to miss Zman Tefillah. So let's say you're on the train and you just had, you were eating breakfast, and you got, I don't know, you got honey all over your hands. It's sticky. It's disgusting. So now there's no water. I don't think there's water on the train to use. Is there? There's, yeah?
Base kisa.
Okay, fine. So I guess you could go there. But let's say you don't want to go to the base kisa. It was used. It was broken. So then you have no choice. So then if you're going to get to the city where you can get water in the next hour and 12 minutes, so a person should then wait for the hour and 12 minutes. But let's say a person could only, if he goes back home, if there's water back home, but not where he's going, so that person would have to go back 18 minutes backwards out of his way. But if more than that, you don't have to go out of your way. But that's important. You have to clean your hands with water if your hands really got dirty.
What about for minyan? If you're going to miss minyan, but you're still maybe smart, you'll get water within 72 minutes.
So that's a good question. If your hands are really dirty, then you shouldn't be doubting. You shouldn't be doubting. You should wash your hands first. If they're not dirty, but you have to just get them, wipe them down, then I would say not to miss minyan. But maybe we'll discuss that next week as well.
Is he referring to Rechitza Ba'alma or with a Keli six times?
No, with a Rechitza Ba'alma. Keli six times you don't have to do before tefillah. People are makbid to do, but you don't have to. Really, all you have to do, if your hands are not dirty, all you really have to do is just put on tiny bit of water, and that's sufficient for tefillah.
Is the Shulchan Aruch once?
Yeah. Not even once. You don't even need a keli for tefillah when it comes to mincha ma'arif. Even for Shabbos, if you did an egelash in the morning, you mikra din, you really don't need a keli. Okay. One other thing to keep in mind here is when it comes to carrying things, very, very relevant, a person's traveling, you're backpacking, you're hiking, you have a backpack of your water or whatever else you're bringing with you, so are you allowed to daven while holding that backpack? So it's brought down Shulchan Aruch. This itself deserves its own shir, but I'm not going to get into it. We don't have time anymore. This man, at least. But a person should put down anything he's holding. You shouldn't be holding a package. You shouldn't be holding anything unless it's a sitter. Your phone, if a phone's a sitter, so then you could hold it. If it's not used as a sitter, then you should be holding it. Very, very, very relevant is the weapons. In Eretz Yisrael, the soldiers have to carry weapons and guns. So that gets into another discussion. They're not allowed to put their guns down. They could get arrested for putting the guns down, I believe, right? They have to always be holding their guns. So that's a shaila. Bring guns into shul, is that allowed as well? That's a discussion brought down. You cannot bring weapons into shul, the Gemara says. That's a halacha. So you have to get a bigger discussion about soldiers and carrying weapons in general into a shul, and also during tefillah. Again, the ikar halacha is you should put everything down, including weapons, but the hatayim for soldiers, well, we could discuss maybe after the summer, who knows.
If you're afraid that somebody's going to steal what you have.
So these are things to take into consideration. I don't know. I'm not sure. But mikar din, if it's simple, a person should definitely put his bag down. If you think someone's going to steal, so then you're probably going to lose your tefillah. You're not going to pay attention, so maybe there's a heter for that. Could be.
Wait, even if it's on your back, you're not holding it in your hands?
Even on your back, you should take it off the back, yeah. Ideally, everything should be taken out. That's why you'll see sometimes people, when they daven, empty out their wallets and their keys and their phones, based on this idea, you shouldn't carry anything, even in pockets. The minhag is not that way, but it sounds like the correct halacha is to remove everything from your pockets. But again, the minhag is not to be that way. But if one wants to be machmir, one is certainly room and encouraged to do so. One last halacha he points out that I've never seen this done, but maybe you have. If a person is reading, if they're doing Kriyas HaTorah on an airplane or in a train or in a bus, I think there are buses from Muncie and Lakewood that have like laning on the buses. So he just points out, just very practically, a person shouldn't do hagba on the bus or train, because if there's a short stop, the Sefer Torah could fall. So one should not do hagba while...
They stop for landing,
yeah? Okay, so if they stop for landing, there's no issue. If they don't stop for landing... Okay. But if they don't stop, then one should not do hagba, leave it on the table, and then roll it up while it's this way, for practical reasons, this way, nothing, rachman l'tzlan, falls. Okay, we'll stop here a bit early, but next week in Mirat Hashem, we'll discuss the inyan of minyan, how important minyan is, and cool is when one can or should miss minyan. All right, everyone have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.